Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Glory be to God. Somebody say, God's got big plans for me. He's going to do big things through me. Hallelujah. Now how's it going to get done? How are these big plans going to get done? By being faithful in the, by being faithful with the little things, right? It's the little things in life that'll either make us or break us. It's the little things. So we don't want to despise the little things. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise it. Don't just pass it off as unimportant. Don't, you know, you got to watch about just stepping over little things. And we talked about how many big problems in life are the product of little acts of disobedience and neglect. Just neglecting the little things. Little acts of disobedience. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't do anything really major. It doesn't take major things to cause big problems down the road. So we want to make sure that we're faithful in the little things. We're obedient in all things. We don't want to let any disobedience or unbelief sneak through the cracks of our life, right? We want to get it, nip it in the bud, right? Get it, recognize that this thing has the potential to break me, and I'm not going to let it do that. I'm going to stop it right here. We want to stop it right here. So we take little sins seriously because there is no little sin. Sin is sin, and sin produces bad things. Sin produces problems, and we don't want problems in life. And I think a great illustration of that that we used last time was sugar. You know, it's amazing. God, I didn't talk to any health gurus or this isn't the result of some kind of special diet or anything like that. It just, the Lord put it on my heart to fast sugar. Oh, my goodness, it's everywhere. I couldn't believe it. It was in the ketchup. It was in my ketchup. It was in my tomato sauce. It was in the pancake batter. It was everywhere. And we have nice pancakes, too. Very nice. Whole wheat, very nice. They snuck it in there, 2 grams. They snuck it in there. So he says, it's only 2 grams. Yeah, that's only 2 grams, and that's only 2 grams. And next thing you know, we got 66 pounds of sugar that our bodies had to deal with over the course of a year. Because that's exactly what they say the average American consumes in a year. But you see, it's in this little thing, it's in this little thing, it's in this. It's amazing when you actually fasted how you see it everywhere. I mean, to me, that is a trick of the enemy to mess our lives up. So you'll be 66 pounds lighter, perhaps. At the end of the, body won't have to work on that the whole year. But anyhow, the point is, just a little here and a little here. And whoever would think that the average American consumes 66 pounds of sugar in a year? You wouldn't think that. How many pounds have you consumed in each year? You wouldn't think it would be very much because it's a little here. But see, it all adds up over the course of time. If it's in every little thing that you're eating, it's all building up. It's all adding up. So that works that way with everything in life. It's a great lesson we can learn just about life, how we live our life. We got to understand, little sin, a little of this, a little of that. If it's in the negative, it can produce big problems for us over the course of time. But again, if we're faithful in a little here and a little there and a little here, the Bible says the faithful man will abound with blessing. Oh, I like that. He'll what? Abound. That's overflow, man. Overflow. So how do you overflow with blessing, abound with blessing? How does that happen? A little here, a little there. Faithful in this little thing, faithful in this little thing. Faithful in this little thing, faithful in this little thing. And next thing you know, you're abounding with 66 pounds of blessing. Right? 100 pounds of blessing. Glory be to God. Let's add that to our diet. Let's get more blessing upon our life. Right? And then we talked about how many big problems can be solved many times by a very simple answer. God doesn't need to do some kind of big, extraordinary thing. I mean, splitting the Red Sea was pretty huge. Splitting the Red Sea, water coming out of the rock, you know, that's an extreme situation. And that was God doing an extreme thing to make a statement, not just to Israel, but to us today, to the world, that he is all-powerful and he could do anything. He's the Almighty God. But in most cases, in most issues and problems we face in life, you might think, I need a Red Sea split. And God's like, no, you just need a little of this or a little bit of that. Just a little wisdom, just a little word from God. And you just tweak it, just apply that word to your situation. Oh, understanding comes, light comes, and all of a sudden you realize, well, that's not such big of a problem after all. So many times when you bring just a little light of God, who is so awesome and so amazing, you just bring a little light of God into the situation. It's amazing how that situation that seems so big is really not that big of a deal after all. All you need is a little whisper from heaven. Whatever kind of breakthrough you need, you don't need the wind that splits the Red Sea. You just need a little whisper from heaven. And it'll be like a mighty rushing wind in the way that it just transforms your situation. But just a little wisdom, just a little whisper from God can change everything. Proverbs 25:15 says, a gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle tongue breaks a bone. You know, God, he works very gently. You say, well, I got all these things and I need this and I need this. Well, no, you probably just need one little word from God. So many times that's just a little wisdom from him and you experience a breakthrough in your life. And so God wants us to become more and more like him and have faith in him, have confidence in him and understand that we don't have to say a whole lot and do a whole lot and kick and claw to try to change things in our life or in other people's lives. A lot of times people, when they're in strife, you know, they rise up and they get all riled up and they raise their voice and they talk real strong and intimidating. Right? People get real and try to get as intimidating as they can with the other person to break through, to get their answer and get this person to straighten up. But here he says, a gentle word breaks a bone, breaks the situation, can break you through. We don't have to get all riled up. And that word gentle there also can be translated soft, a soft answer. Just a soft answer. You don't have to get all riled up. When you have faith in God and you understand that God is for you, just a soft, tender, kind, gentle answer. A small, still voice from you can change your situation when God is in it. When God is in that situation with you. Can you say amen? But many times people miss God's wisdom by looking for their answers in something big. They miss God's answer because they're always looking for the answer in something big. And I'm reminded of the scripture over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. In verse 14 it says, there was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Notice the emphasis there. Little city, few people. And here this great king, not just a king, a great king, besieged it and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Just a little wisdom from the poor wise man, and it delivered the city from the great king who besieged it with great snares. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Nobody remembered him. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. So again, people many times will judge according to the outward. And we got to watch because many times God will use different sources to help us, to deliver us, that The carnal mind, the natural mind would overlook and say, how can this poor guy help me? This poor, pitiful person, how can they help me? Well, if God comes through them, if God gives them wisdom for you, then they can help you. You know, I'm reminded of that prophet Balaam. And he was just kicking against God and going against God. And then he started beating his donkey because his donkey was seen into the realm of the spirit. The gift of discerning the spirits came upon a donkey. And the donkey saw an angel standing there with a sword that was about to kill Balaam. And so the donkey kept backing up, wouldn't go forward. And Balaam wants to go forward in disobedience. And he's beating this donkey and getting mad. He missed the exit and he's kicking the car and because it's not working right. And fussing and carrying on. And then the Bible says, God opened the mouth of the donkey and spoke through him to the prophet. And spoke to him and said, am I not your donkey? Have I ever acted this way before? Do you think maybe something's up, fella? You think you maybe stop, maybe pray? Not in those exact words, but it was something like that. I mean, God spoke through a donkey. How much more can God speak through you? Or somebody else around you? Another human being? Right? So we don't want to overlook what God can use to deliver us. That's why the Bible says, don't set your mind on high things, but think lowly. Think humbly. Don't be high-minded. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So he's talking to the church now. The church here at Corinth has gotten all puffed up, one against the other. They're all exalting themselves, one against the other. And so he's trying to bring them back and says, guys, how did we get here? Where were we? Where did we start when we came to God? Were we these real wonderful, intelligent, super talented, great people? He says to them, no, he says, there's not many mighty among you. Not many noble are called, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. And then God tells you why he does it. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Which is exactly what they're doing. They're all glorying in their gift and their abilities and their revelation and who they're following in the church and all these different things. And they're glorying in his presence in the flesh. Because they have forgotten what kind of people they are. Forgot where they came from. And we got to remember, this is what God uses. God uses the little despised things to do big things, to turn the world upside down, right? A few fishermen, a tax collector that nobody liked, right? And when he turned the whole world upside down. And that's how he still does it today. He'll turn your world upside down. Has he already turned your world upside down? He has, but he will continue to turn your world upside down through little things. Little things. So we don't want to get all high-minded and think that we're something great, right? Because then God can't use us. God can't use us if we're thinking big and great about ourselves. Then God can't do big things and great things through us. How's God going to accomplish great big things through your life? Think small about yourself. Think little about yourself. Don't think you're better than the person next to you. Don't think you're greater than everybody else. Don't think you're more deserving than everybody else. Right? Like the Pharisee that Jesus talked about, and he came into the temple to pray. And he came in there and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. right? He's Haman, and he began to spout off all the things, all the religious, pious things that he does. I'm not like other men. And he just sat there in prayer, and he exalted himself before God of how wonderful he was. And he thus prayed with himself, Jesus said. He was just praying with himself. That's what religious people do. They just pray with themselves. But why is that? Because they're too big, even for God. God is looking for people that think little about themselves, but have faith in a big God using little things to do extraordinary things. God using little people to do extraordinary things. God has made many people that weren't important, important, who didn't care about being important. But as I've also seen this, that when they cared suddenly about looking important, because God made them important, now they like that they're important, and now they care about looking important to others, that's usually when they cease being important. They no longer are important. You see that with folks, you know? They're nothing. And as long as they know they're nothing, they don't care to do anything for Jesus. Holy Ghost meeting, let's go. Shika la mande. We'll dance in the Spirit. We'll run in the Spirit. We'll laugh in the Holy Ghost. But then God's doing great things in their life, and they start rising up in importance among the people because God's using them in some great ways in people's lives. And the next thing you know, they're so important, they begin to like that place of importance. Now they don't want to do anything that would undermine their dignified self. And so now that's beneath them. The Holy Ghost is beneath them. If you want the Holy Ghost, go in our back room. We got prayer partners back there, if you're lucky. Some churches don't even have a Holy Ghost back room. They're ashamed of the Holy Ghost. They're embarrassed because they're too big for that. They're too big for the Holy Ghost. So when you're too big for the Holy Ghost, you don't have Holy Ghost. You understand? But big Holy Ghost comes to people that know they're little, like little children. Right? Didn't Jesus say, unless you become like big children? Huh? What did he say? Unless you become like little children, like this little child, you'll by no means see the kingdom of God. Just become like a little child. Don't get all high-minded. Being little in your own eyes is key to being big in God's eyes and being used in a big way in God's kingdom. Be little. Everybody say little. Little. See, we're talking about being faithful with the little, right? Be little in your own eyes. And you'll be big in God's eyes and do big things in his kingdom. God will make you impressive, so long as you're not seeking to impress. As soon as you do something to impress people, God will step back and just watch you do it. But when you're not trying to impress, God will make you very impressive in what you do in life. Can you say amen? I just looked up one of my tweets from a while back, and I said, what we do in public is only to be an overflow of who we are in private. Anything else is just a performance. Did you get that? I'm going to say that one again. What we do in public is only to be an overflow of who we are in private. Anything else is just a performance. And we don't want to be performers. We got a whole world out here that's into performing. Right? Those are the stars, the people, the best performers. They're our heroes for the world. It's all about performing in the world, but not for you and I. It's all about being real. It's all about being real in the kingdom of God. And when you get real, you understand that you, apart from him, are absolutely nothing. You're nothing. You're a zero. You're a nothing. God is everything. You're little. He's great. He's big. So we're not trying to do big. I'm going to do great things for God. No, God's going to do great things through you, you little thing. See, God does the great things through little things. It's not you trying to do great things for God. Isn't that ridiculous? I'm going to do big things for God. Please, You're going to do big things. You're going to do big things for God. You're not going to do nothing. God will do great things. God will do the big things. How can a little thing do a big thing? You can't. God's got to do it through you. Right? You can't do it in your own strength and in your own might. So we understand that we need to be humble. We need to walk in humility. And the opposite of humility is pride. Pride. And it's pride that cares about being elevated or lifted up in front of others. Pride is what's concerned about being a big shot. Humility is not interested in being a big shot. It knows that there are no big shots. Just a big God, not a big shot. Pride, the Bible teaches, is like leaven. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, why don't you turn there tonight? 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. In verse 6, the apostle is dealing again with the church at Corinth because they're all puffed up in pride. Remember, leaven or yeast is something that they put in bread to make it rise, get all puffed up. And that's exactly what pride does. A person that's in pride, the Bible likens to being puffed up. Puffed up. Inflated. So something that's inflated can appear big, like a balloon. You think about a balloon. You get this little balloon. It's just a little balloon. And it's when you puff it up. You blow the thing up, right? And also, now it's this big balloon. But it's really not a big balloon. It's just a little balloon full of a lot of air. And that's what pride is like. Pride takes little things, and it doesn't really do big things through it. It just inflates it. It just inflates it and fills it with a lot of air, with a lot of vanity, with a lot of emptiness. And there's no real substance to it. We're talking about God doing big things through us. We're talking about God doing things that have substance. We're becoming people of substance. We're being filled with the substance of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're being filled with faith. We're being filled with substance. We're becoming people of substance. People that have weight. Have this weight that's eternal and full of the glory of God. It's gonna last forever. We're not talking about just being inflated big. We're talking about really big. Substance big. Solid. Strong. From the inside out. That's where how God wants to increase us and prosper us. From the inside out. He wants to build us up. Starting in our spirit, in our character. Walking in love. Growing in faith. Growing in our substance. That's what God has in mind for you and I. But the church at Corinth, they started out that way, and then they started getting all inflated and started judging themselves according to the flesh. And so the apostle said this in verse 6, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" Just like that lump of dough, a little leaven spreads through the whole thing and inflates it and puffs it up. "Therefore," he says, "purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Let me read this from the Amplified Classic. It says, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of vice and malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of purity, nobility, honor, and sincerity, and unadulterated truth." So again, he's liking all these wicked things, vice, lying, deceit, all these things, which is all connected to pride. He's liking that to leaven, just a little. Everybody say a little. just takes a little leaven. What happens? Goes through the whole lump. Now, you apply that to your own personal life, but he's also applying that to the church. The Bible tells us that one sinner, Ecclesiastes 9:18, says one sinner destroys much good. This one sinner can do a lot of damage. So that's why he says here, purge out the old leaven. Get that guy out of there. Get that sinner. Here, in its context, he's talking about a guy who's in sexual immorality. And then the following verses here, he talks about sexual immorality. People in sexual immorality that are in the church, they need to be purged out. Why? Because it spreads. That kind of wickedness and perversion and uncleanness, it has demons attached to it. We can't allow demons to get in and work its way through the church to try to destroy it. See, we have to understand that. There's demons attached to these things, so we got to cut them off. We can't allow wrong influences in our life. Many people don't understand that. And so they associate with prideful, arrogant people. You understand, in the world, you can't escape it. I mean, you work with them, you're out there in traffic. I mean, you know, they're all around you in the world. But they don't have to be in your home. You don't have to be in their home. You don't have to be having big socials with them. Are you with me? You got to watch the company that you keep. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You got to watch about the company that you keep. You got to watch what you're allowing to come into your home. Some people are keeping company with some very immoral, perverted people through the television. Have people know those are people? They're people. I know. It's, you know, a lot of times we look at TV and it's kind of like another realm. And when somebody actually meets somebody that's on TV, it's like, it's like another realm of, you're not really a human. You're just kind of something. You're a star. You're something. But they're humans. They're people. And if they're perverted and they're immoral, what in the world are you inviting them in through your television to sit in the chair in the living room with you? Well, they're not. They're in the team. Well, the demons can come through. Demons come through these things. A little demon can cause a lot of trouble. I understand that. That's why I don't let demons in my house. I don't let demons in my house. Anything that even if it smells like a demon, if it walks like a demon, if it looks like a demon, I know what it is. It's a demon. Are you with me? So I'm not going to let falsehood and a lying spirit come into my home in the name of entertainment. I'm not going to let a perverted spirit come into my home in the name of entertainment and come into my life and get into my family and work through my house and try to eat up the whole household and cause all kinds of trouble. I'm not going to have it. So you got to shut the door on that stuff. You can't allow those things in. Access. And it's just a little thing. It's only PG-13. Okay. Well, it's just bad. It's just bad for kids that are under 13. Oh, okay. So poison, it'll poison a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old, but that poison won't affect you? Come on. You think age? You think sin and devils respect age? He'd look and say, I can only mess with 13-year-olds and under. But I can't mess with you. You're 17. You're 18. Oh, you're big enough. Now you can handle sitting in front of sin. You're an adult. This is adult entertainment. You're big enough. You can sit in front of the devil. It won't hurt you. You're old enough now. You're deceived. Get ready to experience problems in your life. These things gain access into people's lives to cause problems. It's a work of the devil. You have to guard yourself. I said you have to guard yourself. Cut off the negative influences. Don't tell me it's just a little thing. Song of Solomon says in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Catch the little foxes. It's what? The little foxes that what? Spoil the vine, man. Just cause you not to be able to get any grapes from your vine. You sowed for grapes. Here comes the vine. Why can't you ever seem to get any harvest on your vine? Cool, you got little foxes maybe. Maybe little foxes are eating the grapes. It's getting quiet. I don't like that. The New International Version, the NIV. The little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Our vineyards that are in blossom. Come on, it's my season for harvest. They're in blossom. Now we're not just talking about a vine, we're talking about the whole vineyard. And he's little. Let me say little. It's the little foxes. It's these little foxes. You can't let the little foxes in. They'll ruin the whole vine. They'll ruin the whole vineyard. A lot of times people think their problem is the big bad wolf. Right? The big bad wolf. And many times it's not the big bad wolf, it's the little fox, the little tiny fox, the little baby fox. That's what's causing the problem. Right? So we got to take that serious. You can't underestimate little problems, because little problems can turn into big problems quick. And you don't want to underestimate little blessings. Little blessings, because little blessings can turn into big blessings quick. Well, that's just a little blessing. That really doesn't mean a whole lot. Little things, whether bad or good, can cause big things to come out of it. See, we're starting to think littler, starting to become aware, more aware of the little things in life. Protect us from the little things, because that's what's causing the big problems, is the little things, right? And yet at the same time, God's deliverances and God's answers are in little things. And if we respect those little things, then we'll see big deliverances. We'll see big God do great things in our life. Amen. And the devil, you know, he is the spirit of pride. He's where pride originates from. And he is all puffed up, and he always makes himself and makes things out to be bigger than they really are. He tries to make a big deal out of things. More of a big deal than what really exists there. And we see that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 3. But I fear, the apostle writing by the Spirit to the church at Corinth, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, this is a trick of the devil. He tries to complicate things. He tries to make more out of things in our life, a bigger deal than they really are in life, to overwhelm us. That's why we can't get caught up in all the overwhelming big thoughts. We got to break it all down, keep it simple. That's how you're able to get through trials and tests. That's how you're able to get through the lies of the enemy. He's always going to try to make it really deep and really complicated. But your situation with God is no problem. Just a little button away. Just a little word from God, whatever it is, to experience total deliverance in your life. Things are very simple in God. But they're very complicated, inflated in the world, in the devil's kingdom. He inflates things. He inflates things. I've seen people come to me, they're overwhelmed. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do this. They're overwhelmed by their life, by the trials and tests of life. When you break it all down, get all the fluff out of there, suck all the hot air. See, in my office, I have this little hot air sucking machine. People don't see it, but it's behind my chair. So I say, hey, how you doing? They come in. It's big. I got such problems. They sit down. I go, and they don't even know it. And so I start sucking all the hot air out of the room. And in a very short period of time, they're like, well, I guess it really wasn't that big of a problem after all. A lot of it's just a lot of fluff. And that's what the enemy was doing here. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from what? Simplicity that is in Christ. What does this word simplicity mean? It means the state of being simple. That's how life is in Christ. Simple. That's how getting through life is in Christ. Simple. Right? It's not complicated. God was very simple and very clear about what he said to Eve. He said to Adam, he said, now, don't eat, you can eat everything else. Don't eat that. If you eat that, you're going to die. It's pretty simple. Right? Satan comes in there. You're not going to die. God knows the day you eat of that, you're going to become like God, knowing good and evil. And he starts building this thing up, making more of it. Then, because you eat it, you're going to die. That's it. Simple. Only believe. Don't eat it. And you won't die. That was too simple. There had to be more. There had to be more to this. Has to be more going on here, right? A lot of times people get like that. There's more going on here. There's more happening. People walk around with such paranoia. People are so suspicious. They get so suspicious. Why do you look at me like that? Suspicious. Why did they say it that way? Because they said it that way. Yeah, no. There's more. There's more going on here. I can tell. You didn't mean it. You didn't mean what you said. What you really meant was all this suspicion, all this inflating. And you know what's so sad? People actually walk away from people and situations believing total lies about what they just experienced or what that person, how that person feels about them. I know what that person's thinking about me. Oh, please. You only know what you know. Why don't you just leave it there? And all you know is what they said and what they did. You don't know anything else. Stop reading into it. Stop reading into it. There's a lot of people that aren't here tonight. You know why? Because they read into things. They have read into things. Why didn't he shake my hand at the back door? He shook their hand, but he didn't shake my hand. I've had it happen. I called somebody, said, why aren't you coming to church? Where have you been? Well, you would usually give high fives at the back door, and I noticed you didn't give me one. And besides that, Pastor Jean walked past me. She didn't say anything. So I just, you know, I know what's going on.
Wish I did.
Wish I knew what was going on. I've had a lot of people, they knew what was going on. They know what's going on here. Okay. Let me know, please. Some people, I just wish they'd tell me. Can you tell me what was going on? Because I have no idea. And I'm the guy that was generating it, so please tell me what it was. But this is how problems, relationships get destroyed. Families get destroyed. Problems. Things getting inflated. Things getting blown out of proportion. People aren't living in reality. Allowing themselves to be seduced by the serpent to complicate their lives. Keep it simple. Do what Jesus said. Believe the best. Believe the best of folks. Believe the best. If you're not sure, believe something good. How's that? If you're not sure, believe the best. Believe something good, because that's what love does. Just go ahead and believe something good. I understand some things that look a little, just believe good. And you won't get in trouble. Simple. Simple. Do people do it? Not too many. Not too many people do it. They're going to go negative. They're going to follow the serpent. That's what was happening in the church. It was dividing the church, messing the people up, ruining their spirituality, causing people to backslide that were once on fire for God. It's very sad. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't allow the enemy to sucker you in, to draw you in to this deception of complicating things and inflating things and making more out of things than you have really facts in your hands to prove is true. Stay with the facts, not with the inflation. So simplicity is the state of being simple, uncomplicated, easily understood, presenting no difficulty, straightforward, easy, uncomplicated, undemanding, clear, plain, intelligible, easily done, user-friendly. Hallelujah. That's what it means. That's how we're supposed to live our life. That's you. That's who we are. I'm going to tell you about yourself again. Uncomplicated. You're uncomplicated. Don't complicate things. The devil complicates things. Pride complicates things. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, comma, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So how do you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? He tells you exactly how to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares on him. He'll exalt me. He'll lift me up. He'll give me what I need in life. I don't have to exalt myself, lift myself up. It's very simple. Keep it simple. Don't complicate it. And cast your cares on him. Carrying cares, therefore, is walking in pride. Because if humbling yourself is casting your cares on him, then walking in the cares of life is walking in pride, which is inflating everything. God, I've got so many problems. I've got so much going on. I is your problem. You've got I problem. I got so much going on. You're so important. Nobody else has a lot going on. You're so important. Only you could be overwhelmed. Look at you, you poor thing. You pity thyself. You have it so hard. I got some real complex things going on. It's deep. I got so many cares. So many cares. So many anxieties. So many worries. Good. Why don't we humble ourselves? Let's humble ourselves and cast the cares on him. Oh, okay. He's big God. He big daddy. He big heavenly father. You give big daddy, oh, your big heavy problems. Give them to big daddy. But you think you're so big that you have to figure it all out. You got to get it all straightened out. Yeah. You're too little. Just let it go. Be like a child. I give it to you. I can't do that. See, I can only do what I can do. That's all I can do. And I'm not going to try to do any more than that. Because you get out doing beyond that, and now you're in pride, and you got cares, and you got problems. You're overwhelming yourself. I can only do what I can do. Now, my father said, Jesus said to me, he said that if he takes care of the birds, he'll take care of you. Okay. I'm going to let God do that. He takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of me. It's not complicated. So I just do what he tells me to do. It doesn't look like that what I'm doing is going to generate what I need to be able to survive and fly. But that's not my problem. That's his problem. All I can do is what I can do. I mean, there's a lot of things that come, you know. It's like, this is going on, this is going on. I go, well, I can only do what I can do, you know. We got so many overwhelming things, so much to do. I can only do what I can do. That's all I can do. It's a good philosophy to keep in life. Now, I'm going to do it the best I can by the grace of God, but I can only do what I can do. You know what I'm saying? I only got so many hours in a day, and I can only do so much, and I like to sleep at night. I like a certain amount of sleep at night, actually. I like to have a life, too. So I can only do what I can do. And that'll keep you really enjoying life, keeping it simple. Keeping it simple, uncomplicated. Say it with me. Say, my life is uncomplicated. Do you believe that? That kind of felt a little strange saying it, didn't it? Say it again. Tell yourself again. My life is uncomplicated. I'm easily understood. I'm easily understood, right? Easily understood. Presenting no difficulty. We don't make things hard, right? We're not a drama going somewhere to happen, right? We don't bring a lot of drama into the situation. Everything's easy, uncomplicated. We're undemanding. I demand it. No, you don't demand it. You put your faith on God, right? He makes it all happen. You can't force people. You can't force people. You can't make them do it. You just can't do it. You got to trust God. Say, well, Lord, work in our heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. There it is again. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. Notice that. He says that's what our boast is. If we brag about anything, it's not the things we had to do and the things we accomplished. No, he says, no, we kept our lives simple and sincere. We lived life in simplicity and in godly sincerity. That's how we lived our life. Be simple and sincere. Be simple and sincere. He says, that's our boast. Acts chapter 2. Verse 46, this is the beginning of the church age. The early believers, they were so successful. It was amazing what God did through them. What was their primary philosophy about life? Acts chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Notice what's in the middle of them being glad and praising God, having favor with the people, and God adding people to them. People were getting saved because of the way they lived their life. What was the way they lived their life? They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. There's that word simplicity again. They were light on their feet. They weren't carrying the cares of life. That'll keep you happy, guys. That might help get people saved more than you trying to force them to get saved. How about just being glad all the time? How about really enjoying Jesus? How about really praising God? Some people, they can't even praise God. You got to do 5 songs to finally get them to go, to finally lift their hand and do a little something, you know. Why? They're so weighted down. So weighted down. You got so many that've been carrying cares all day, and then they come in here, and it just takes forever. It's like, come on, let's do it. Let's go. Yes, Jesus loves me. Do it again. Come on, raise your hands. Yes, Jesus loves me. Get 2 hands. Go, yeah. Don't push it, Pastor. I've had a hard day. Nobody understands the kind of day I had. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. But you see, they were praising God. They were gladness. People were attracted to it. It's easy to get people saved when you're happy. People like happy people. Happy people are becoming extinct. They are. Not a care in the world. Not a care in the world. Jesus made it so simple. Hear these people. Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. I mean, it's dead. The daughter's dead. This is horrific. How do we get out of this? Jesus tells them, only believe. Huh? Only believe. Shh, only believe. That's it. And the girl will live again. I mean, big problems. Only believe. You got to come back to that. I got to believe God's word. In the name of God, I'm willing to conquer my stripes. No way I perform to get you to prosper. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that I'm the blessed and I'm the healed. Devil, you're under my feet. Devil, you're under my feet. Devil!
Devil, you are under my feet!
And Jesus is like, he's not that big of a deal. I've already defeated him. I've conquered the guy. Why are you acting this way? I've already conquered him. You don't have to tell him to get under there. I put him there. He's already there. Look, he's there. Only believe.
It doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't matter. Only believe. Only believe. You're conquered, devil. That's my greatest weapon against the devil. I laugh at him. In faith. Trusting God. Trusting God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. I don't have a worry in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.